All right, guys, welcome to the show. Happy Friday. Hope you're having a fantastic week. Let me know what your weekend plans are in the chat down below. Today, we're going to be talking about yet another tone-deaf celebrity video that's come out. Oprah and The Rock asking you to save Maui. Plus, Piers Morgan talks about censorship in literature, in media. Let's talk about it. Yo, yo, yo. Welcome to the show, guys. Happy Friday. It's been a good week. We have some interesting news to talk about today. Taylor is not here today. He is on a little vacay in Washington, so shout out to him. He's there with his wife. Hope he's having a good time. We do have Spencer. I almost said Taylor. Spencer in the producer's bay.
Not Taylor, but I'm here.
So it's just going to be the two of us hanging out today. And we're going to get into a discussion about Maui / Lahaina and everything that happened with the wildfires in early August. And what really sparked this new discussion is that Oprah and Dwayne The Rock Johnson put out a video on the internet where they started talking about this idea of donating to Maui, which I think is a very generous, wonderful thing to do if that is something that you feel so inclined to help out with. And they put out a video talking about this fund that they've created to help in Lahaina and Maui. And the internet was not happy about it at all. We're going to get into their reaction. And this was from left, right, center, all across the board. People were not happy about this video and were calling out some of maybe the irony that is present. But first, I'll allow you to watch the video of Oprah and Dwayne The Rock Johnson and come to your own conclusion. Here it is.
We were so concerned about what was happening in Maui that we were texting back and forth. And I read this article that Dolly Parton had given money in her community. And I said, I think this is the answer. You said, I think that's the answer.
I said, I love it.
And so we have created the People's Fund of Maui that will put money directly in the hands of the people who need it right now. So if you send a donation, just click where you see below and send a donation. That money is going to go to one of many residents who have been displaced in Maui, we guarantee.
That's right, and I know a lot of people out there, as Oprah and I have been finding, are just having a hard time trusting where the money goes, what organization should I send money to, how can I help? In this case, the fund that we created with a lot of hard work from a lot of hardworking people who all care about these people of Maui, as Oprah was saying, it is a clean, direct from you directly to their hands, and right away with some real immediacy, because as we're finding, as you guys around the world know, with disasters like this, the number one need is money.
Is money.
In hand.
And so people being able to have their own agency, being able to make decisions for themselves about what they need and what their family needs, that's our goal, is to get that to the people now. And so we appreciate any support that you can give. All the people who were calling me and texting me and messaging me and saying, what do I do? What do I do? This is what you do. The People's Fund of Maui.
Okay, so that's the video. I'm already seeing you guys. Your thoughts are streaming in. You guys are saying they're so BSing. OMFG, read the room, LMFAO, all these different things in the chat down below. And you guys seem to be, espousing the very same message that many in the comments were saying towards Oprah and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Many felt it necessary to point out that collectively between the two of them, they're looking at, like $3 billion. Dollars in net worth, and that it's a little ironic to have so much money while also, having property in Hawaii and in Maui specifically, and to be asking, average everyday Americans who are living paycheck to paycheck, who have gone through, a bunch of turmoil with COVID and not being able to have their jobs, their businesses being shut down, just everything that's happening in the economy right now with inflation, and then to ask average Americans to give money to the citizens of Maui, instead of maybe taking stock of your own net worth, all of the assets that you have, the property that you actually have in the state of Hawaii, and thinking maybe I should do more myself. Now, on its face, this video is not the worst thing in the world. I get that it is extremely ironic. I think they could have consulted somebody to do this better. If I was going to be Oprah or Dwayne The Rock Johnson in this case right now, and I wanted to put together a fund for the people of Maui, I would maybe let the people of Maui speak for themselves and talk about what it is that they need, put them at the forefront of the messaging here and the marketing of this video, because that becomes the most important part. Maybe somebody thought, you know, if we throw Oprah's face and, you know, The Rock's face on these videos, people love them so much that they're going to be inclined to give money. But the very exact opposite response was found in this video. You know, I think people are going to be mobilized to help the citizens of Maui, and I do think that is a wonderful thing, and where that can be encouraged and where money can go directly to their hands, I think that is a great thing. But these were not the messengers for this. Not whatsoever. And it would be even better if you saw somebody like Oprah or Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you know, talk to the government about the aid that they should be giving to the people of Maui, considering we gave tens of billions of dollars over to Ukraine in this time. And what, I think the citizens of Maui, fact check me if I'm wrong on this, got like $700, you know, per affected person. It's not really much here. Now, I believe this fund that they've put together that they claim is going to go directly to the hands of those affected is somewhere to the tune of $1,200 a month to each person, each adult. And, you know, given the state of Maui right now and what everybody's dealing with, I hope that that helps and that cushions the blow and that they're actually standing by what it is they've said in this video. I don't know. It's giving tone deaf, you know? It's giving, y'all remember when this happened during COVID?
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
No hell below us.
Above us only sky.
Imagine all the people.
I can't. I'm not going to listen to it anymore.
I forgot about this one, to be honest with you.
I love how they're all singing in different octaves too. Like, yeah. Nobody told them. Like, this is the... Oh my gosh. Nobody told them. They didn't get the memo about, you know, what key, what pitch we were going in or anything like that. But it really is doing exactly that. Again, if I was Oprah and Dwayne The Rock Johnson, it's not inherently wrong to like put out this message to the world of, hey, maybe we could all rally together and donate and help people. I don't think there's anything super, you know, wrong with that initially. You just have to get your messaging right and maybe take stock of what you could be doing. It is stated that Oprah and Dwayne, I think between the two of them, have given $10 million in aid. And, you know, some have stated that that's nothing in comparison to the wealth that The Rock has and even more so Oprah has. In considering her circumstance of having lived in Maui and having property there, maybe she should give more. But, you know, I think people will end up doing what they're gonna do. What I don't appreciate is, you know, holding your hands out and saying, we want something from you guys. I hope that still people are inclined to help, though, if they can, right? And again, we should prioritize maybe the Oprahs of the world and the Dwayne The Rock Johnsons of the world and the governments of the world to help when their citizens are in need. Is that not, in fact, the purpose of the government by and large? Now, somebody took it upon themselves to look into this fund, if we want to do a little bit of investigating into as to whether or not this money is actually going to go directly to the citizens of Maui. I'll let her speak for herself.
I keep seeing videos about The Rock and Oprah raising money for the Maui Fund. My name's Ashley. I've been a professional fundraiser for over 20 years. I think like 25 plus at this point. Let me explain something to you. The word fund means that it is a fund or a bank account, if you will, inside of a nonprofit. A nonprofit is managing it. What nonprofit is it? I will tell you. The Entertainment Industry Foundation. This is a fund. The Maui Fund is within the Entertainment Industry Foundation. I read a lot of 990s on my page. I haven't in a while, but let's look at it. A 990 is the tax return, if you will, that every nonprofit has to submit, just like we submit our taxes. And every nonprofit's 990 is open for public inquiry. It literally says that on the 990, open for public inquiry. So let's inquire. When you go to the fund's website, they're saying that they're going to give $1,200 for each adult who lives in either Lahaina or Kula. I don't know what the duration of that 1200 is, and then you also have to verify that you actually live there. It could be a homeowner or a renter, but you cannot own property there and not live there. You're not going to be qualified. The form for residents to apply looks great. This is actually a really big deal to implement from a nonprofit perspective. The only thing I don't like, and all these nonprofits do this, none of your business. It's none of your business if anybody's receiving state or federal benefits. It's not your business. I don't know why nonprofits ask for this data. Here's more information about the fund. I love that they have filing from 2021. These are the salaries of the executives. There are 13 executives that get paid a total of $3,211,292. Listed in the 990, there are 29 individuals that also receive over $100,000 in compensation, which leaves 69 employees left, because they state in their 990 they have 98 total employees. That leaves 69 employees with an average salary of $64,527. Based off what they've said in this video, Oprah and The Rock have created a special fund, and every single dollar that is donated to this Maui fund that's managed by the Entertainment Industry Foundation is going to go to this cause.
So that gives you a little bit of an idea of the breakdown here. It's possible that all of this money is going directly where they say it's going. It's also possible that it could be lining the pockets of executives at, the nonprofit that is managing this. I am not going to make a call or speculate as to where the money is going. I guess we'll maybe find out down the line. I would probably suggest that instead of giving to, you know, something where you might not know where the money is going, maybe like a GoFundMe of a family who you know is there, and it directly, you could directly give them your money. I'm always like hesitant when it comes to giving to these funds or giving to larger nonprofits. And I agree with what she said. Go and look up those forms so that you can see the breakdown of their money and how much is going to like administrative fees and executive salaries. Because sometimes you'll look into a charity that looks like so wholesome on the outside, and then you check out that form and it's like $10 million is going to the executives who run the said charity. So by and large, I just hope the money is going where they say it's going. It seems as though they've already raised hundreds of thousands of dollars, at least from what I've seen, looking at the fundraising bar on this fund. But the public is not happy, and I want to play some of the reactions to this video that have gone viral. Here's one.
So if you send a donation, just click now.
Did I just witness what I think I witnessed? Please don't tell me I just saw a billionaire standing next to a multimillionaire begging the average everyday citizen for donations that can barely get by due to a real life recession, living paycheck to paycheck, barely can pay rent, barely can put food on the table for our families, okay? Living in a real life recession in a country where our president is giving away all our resources to another country for money. If you two don't go take your Hollywood elite behinds to your other Hollywood elite friends and politician buddies that got millions like you do and billions, and get all that money together and help out Maui, you are out your damn mind. Please don't insult our intelligence like that. And after you guys do all of that, you will have enough money to help the rest of us. Boo. Get out of here with that. The nerve.
I like her.
Somebody just tells it as it is, right?
Yeah.
Just came straightforward with it. No F's given. It's just like, you are not going to talk to me like this. You're not going to ask me for that.
I think a big part, too, is she's right. There's a large amount of people in this country that are paying their bills with very little to spare afterwards, and then asking them to be the ones to pay for all these, you know, affected people in Maui.
Yeah, I mean, like, and there's so much going on in this country where I think we watch as our representatives just fork over money to people that are not living here. Like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the tens of billions of dollars that has gone to Ukraine. And you can debate back and forth as to whether or not you think that money should have been shelled out for that or if you don't. But the point is that it did not go to American citizens. Look at, like, the U.S. border and everything that's happening there and all of the money and funding that has been used for people who are not American citizens. Meanwhile, we have drug problems running rampant in the country, mental health issues running rampant, homelessness, crime in our metropolitan areas. Everything that's happened in Maui, people who are disaffected due to, you know, natural disasters, all of these other things that are happening right here on the ground in the United States of America. And then you have, like, Oprah Winfrey and Dwayne The Rock Johnson ask you, an everyday average civilian, to help and to give money. And you know what? I think people are going to do that. Like, that is what we do as the human race. We try to help those who are in need. And I do think that is a wonderful thing. I just want to point out just the irony of where that message is coming from when they are so very capable of doing so much more than what it is they're doing. And of course, I'm not the only one who feels this way. Here's another response.
Oprah, come here, baby. Come here, baby. You asking for relief aid to those poor people in Maui that lost everything. Ain't them your neighbors? I mean, you used to be giving away stuff on your show. You get a car. Why can't you reach into your $2 billion net worth and say, you get relief. Instead, you down here asking me for money. Back to school just started and we as parents are wiped out. Half of us just got our job back since COVID. I know it's been a long time since you've been broke, but let me just tell you that the prices in the 90s when you was broke are not today's prices, baby. And then you got the nerve to come down here and ask me for money with your own personal bodyguard who's easily worth $800 million alone. I know at least between the two of y'all, y'all can both come up with about $2 million to help your neighbors out. I mean, Oprah, it ain't even like you gotta pay a deductible on your insurance because your property wasn't touched. Between you and the president only giving $700 to those poor people, I don't know who worse. Nah, we gotta get Joe out of there, man.
I love it, man.
I think that guy raises a great point, though, is the you get a car thing. That was her whole spiel on her show, the holiday thing, and she would give out cars and give out clothes and give out whatever. And 100%. Now she's giving out pennies.
Like, but between her and, like, Ellen DeGeneres, you guys could save the entire world. The things that y'all are capable of, it's just astounding to me to see it. But I think what this has pointed out, you know, more so than anything, by, like, reading through the comment section on these videos, like I said, it was left, right, center. Everybody was like, no, this is not the moment for this right now, and here's a million reasons why. People are waking up to the disparity, and I think it's going to be something that, you know, bridges all sides of the political aisle, where we are starting to collectively come together and look at what is just simply not working and who is not working for us, who should be working for us. And I'm excited to see that shift happen and to see where that leads people, because if you're openly calling this stuff out, where I feel like back in the day we would have just been like, oh, wow, what an amazing thing. Like, yay, Oprah, yay, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It's so cool to see them in a video together. I feel like that's the general energy we would have given a video like this back then. Not anymore. Like, we're not here for it anymore. We're not here for the pandering. We're not here for this. Ooh.
Living for today, yeah.
Imagine there's no countries, yeah.
Oh gosh, it's just like,
I don't even know who that last guy was.
Yeah, I mean, just singing in your mansions while the cleaning lady is, like, you know, sweeping in the back while we're all supposed to be on lockdown and everything, and you guys are doing your own damn thing. It's giving that exact energy. So, I mean, we'll see what happens there. I have no doubt that people are going to continue to give to those who are affected, and I think that is a wonderful thing, and as always, should continue. We should do our best to help those in need, and I can't think of people more in need in this time than those who are living, or probably no longer living, in Maui. It is very interesting how her property was unaffected. It is very interesting. I just don't know. There were so many very nice properties in Maui that seemingly got away scot-free.
Yeah. Not even touched.
Yeah, it's crazy to watch some of the, like, helicopter and drone footage over Maui. I'm not going to get into conspiracy. I don't know the information. I don't know directly what happened. I've heard some shady things, like the water being turned off. I've heard some shady things, like the lack of emergency sirens. I've heard some shady things, like large properties were left unaffected. But I cannot tell you what happened there. But it's very similar, like... These two people just must think that the world is all hunky-dory and everybody's got, like, you know, an abundance of money, I feel like. Have you guys seen the video where Bill Gates guesses, like, how much...
Oh, yeah, that was on Ellen, right?
Yeah, how many... I want to find this video.
Hold up.
Like, Bill Gates guesses grocery prices.
Yeah, he was on Ellen and started guessing the prices of, like, macaroni and cheese or something, or, like, dish... Like, Tide Pods.
And he had no clue, obviously. Let's check it out.
Test your knowledge of some everyday items that you get at the supermarket. When's the last time that you have been at a supermarket?
Be honest, Bill.
A long time ago.
Okay. All right. This will be interesting. All right. If you can guess three out of the five products within a dollar of each one, the audience will get something. Okay? If you get all of them, we'll pay off your children's student loans.
No danger there.
No. Yeah. All right.
At least he's self-aware. We love a self-aware queen.
Nice model. And here we go. There is Rice-A-Roni. Right there. The San Francisco treat, of course. How much do you think Rice-A-Roni would be within a dollar?
$5.
Okay, let's...
Dude, it probably is now with inflation, let's be honest.
It's probably $4.95.
The dude was ahead of his time on this one.
The audience didn't like that.
Let's see. Ready? Oh, it's a dollar. Look,
dude.
What a bargain.
I'll take $5.
I know. All right. Ooh,
okay.
Tide Pods. You've been hearing a lot about those lately. What do you think?
$4. No. They want me to go higher.
Yeah.
Let's go with $10. $10. $10.
All right. $19.97.
It's just tragic, man.
Just like out of touch.
I think he gets his Totino's pizza rolls and he says they're like $50 or something like that. You're out of touch. And I mean, it's natural, right? When you're rich, you're no longer going to the grocery store anymore.
Props to him for, you know, making money then and being able to do that stuff, but also...
Just try to, like, keep a pulse on how things are going right here on the ground. And I only mean this if you are going to be a person who is trying to advocate on behalf of those who live in the real world, right? If you're going to advocate for the average everyday citizen, you probably want to have a vibe for what their life is actually like, you know, how much money is coming in or not coming in, what they're paying for, what inflation looks like for the average citizen. Because when you don't know those things and then you speak to them about what they should or should not do, you look tone deaf. And those are my thoughts on the Oprah and The Rock. You guys leave your thoughts in the comments down below. I'm interested to hear more. I know they did donate $10 million, so that is something that they did. And I think that should be acknowledged. And there will be those that say they need to do more. I'm curious to see what you guys think. Now, we're going to move on to Piers Morgan, who recently posted about the censoring of children's books. And this is something that has happened not only here in the United States, but is happening now in the UK. And we're going to discuss this because I feel like he brings up some interesting points, but I also feel like his counter-arguers bring up some very interesting points that we can discuss. Here in the US, we've dealt with this with, you know, Dr. Seuss books that have been, you know, scanned through and censored and told that they're no longer going to be read in schools because they have racist depictions of certain ethnic groups. Roald Dahl has been censored in many ways. They've called him a racist in his books. And more recently, they've been having discussions surrounding that when it comes to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, saying that the Oompa Loompas are a racist depiction of black people. So
I mean, the little, what is it, Snow White and the Seven Dwarves? Now it's
everything with kids, man. They're just going back, scanning through it, trying to find stuff wrong with it and get rid of it. So our childhoods are just being swiped.
They just don't like little people.
They don't. It's really, just be honest about
it. Oompa Loompas and Dwarves.
Oompa Loompas and Dwarves. Now, let's hear Piers Morgan give his thoughts on it, and then we'll hear from the counter-arguers.
The consultants from Inclusive Minds, the very same people who censored Roald Dahl's books, have quietly decided there needs to be some changes. Of course they do. The BNO now takes professional advice from its committee of fun police, which has helped to rebrand its characters and vet its back catalogue. Spotty, who is called Spotty because he's spotty, is now known as Scotty. He's still got spots, you just can't say it. And Fatty, who is called Fatty because he's a fatty, is now known as Freddy, even though he's still fat. We just can't call him that. The kids have been joined by five new pupils, including Harsha, Mahira and Mandira, in order to be more inclusive. Mandira is featured in storylines about mental health to apparently highlight the anxieties facing children. Perhaps they should do one about Mandira being warned that her friend Fatty is offensive. This is from the same set of geniuses who changed cloud men to cloud people in James and the Giant Peach and decided the black tractors in Fantastic Mr. Fox could not be described as black because it was potentially racist.
Gosh.
To other tractors, presumably.
Dude, if we get rid of... Okay, I can see where one might view these things as being, like, objectively wrong. If you're reading a book to a group of five-year-olds, right, and one of the characters' names is Fatty, I can only imagine what those five-year-olds are going to do once they like, hear that or whatever. But you can read it as a book that has been made and say, hey, kids, probably not best that you go around calling other people fatty, whether or not they are or are not fat. Probably not the brightest thing to do. That is what this author in this book chose to do. And, you know, here's the book. It does exist. We don't have to, like, swipe it underneath the rug and switch everything and erase everything, because then it gives a really distorted view of what reality is. In reality, there are people who say things like that. In reality, there were books that were written in that way. Why is it that we cannot acknowledge these things, pair it with a lesson for children, and then move on? I don't understand why it is not that simple. And I guess it's because people are just so hypersensitive. That has to be at the root of this, and that they want to paint this utopic view of the world that simply does not exist. The issue is, right, if anybody's going to call somebody else a fatty, it's a kid. Yeah. Whether or not you prompt them or not, it's a kid who's going to do that.
Now, there are 2 points here. The first is about censorship. If we continue to rewrite every work of fiction based on today's sensibilities, you're going to have to keep doing it every 10 years until you're left with a sanitized slab of nonsense.
Yep.
That bears zero resemblance to the original. The context of when something was written is part of what makes it informative and interesting. The second point is this. We heard a hell of a lot less about child anxiety when Fatty and Spotty were on the loose, because they were considered to be funny then. It was a joke. It's a cartoon. If we genuinely want our kids to feel happier and less anxious, maybe we should stop teaching them constantly that the entire world is out to get them.
100%. And we should teach them that sometimes you are going to meet people who would call you, you know, spotty or fatty. And those people aren't cool, but it happens. And it's something that should, you know, come off of you like water off a duck's back. Because that is the way that the world is, if we are being realistic. And you are going to have to face these things in this world. And when he talks about the context of something being of when something was created and, you know, the things happening historically that impacted, that is so important. I actually have a story about this that, you know, has happened to me recently. There is a musical called Gigi, and I believe it's from the 1940s or 1950s. It's from a while back, right? And I recently went to a record store and I saw this old record for the musical Gigi and purchased it. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take it home, I'm gonna put it on my record player and I'm gonna listen to it. And there is a song, this musical starts off with this song called Thank Heaven for Little Girls. And it is almost exactly like what it sounds like. I'm actually going to play you some of the music from this musical, and some of you will know exactly what Gigi is. It is a very, very famous musical from back in the day. Listen to this song. And you'll hear a somewhat inappropriate message. Not fully inappropriate, but it's pretty inappropriate.
Someday, each and every one of them, either be married or unmarried. How adorable they are. Each time I see a little girl of 5 or 6 or 7, I can't resist a joyous urge to smile and say thank heaven for little girls. Four little girls get bigger every day. Thank heaven for little girls. They grow up in the most delightful way.
It's a little strange, right? Oh, let's just listen to a little bit more.
Those little eyes so helpless and appealing. One day will flash and send you crashing through the ceiling. Thank heaven for little girls. Thank heaven for them all, no matter where, no matter who.
Super weird. And then he goes on to say, without them, what would little boys do or whatever? I mean, you could be charitable in your interpretation of this song and saying he's just saying that girls become women and that's when people get married and what a wonderful thing it is to have, you know, boys and girls who will grow up to be married. There's also a less than charitable way that you could interpret that song as an old man who is constantly looking at little girls waiting for them to grow up, which is really freaking weird, right? But this musical existed. It was wildly popular. I mean, it was a hit of its time, and it is considered to be an old classic, right? Mm-hmm. When you take that into context, does it not change the way that we view the thing? You can still view it as totally inappropriate, but you would also view it as something that was made in the context of its time.
Absolutely. And I just looked it up. I'm not mm-hmm. familiar. I'm not a musical person. And that might upset some people here, but it's a 1944 novella, and then it became a 1958 hit musical film. In the Wikipedia, it says hit musical film. It already shows the impact of this film. But yeah, I mean, it's good to have historical context to this stuff and be able to kind of place it.
Right.
Even now, at looking in the comments, people are like, yikes, that's weird, that's creepy. I agree, course. You agree, but it's also like we're not scrubbing everything. We're not yes. getting rid of all traces of this movie and novella.
When you get rid of it, right? Okay, let's say you go, this is disgusting and disgraceful and it's wrong and inappropriate, which I completely agree with. Let's get rid of that song. It never existed. We've swiped it from memory. Nobody's ever allowed to see it, comment on it, know the context of it ever again. Guess what happens? You're just gonna like repeat this cycle over and over again because people have no reference of the progress that we've made. If you scrub everything and censor everything that you've ever seen that's wrong and nobody ever knows that it existed, your pattern is going to come right back and you're in fact gonna create a far worse society that is never going to be able to acknowledge its own progress because it will have no record of its own progress. And, you know, especially when this is kind of like evidence to like the crazy stuff that goes on in Hollywood and probably has been going on in Hollywood for quite some time. Well, if you get rid of the song, you have no reference for that. You have no context whatsoever. And that's exactly what's happening with children's books, in media, with history. We're just looking at things that are, you know, less than ideal that have happened, horrible, heinous things, and going, well, let's just erase it all. And, you know, we'll just get rid of it. And then they accuse us of being the ones who don't want to talk about history, who don't want to acknowledge things that happened. Makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. But let's continue to hear from Piers Morgan and his panel.
Show them how to be less offended by absolutely everything. Stop allowing them to all get a prize in everything they compete in at school, so they all think that they're winners when sometimes they're not. Because none of that is a proper preparation for the real world, the one that in Barbie Land is such a shock to Margot Robbie when she gets to it. The real world, I'm afraid, is warts and all. It can be tough out there. So why don't we prepare kids for how to handle it rather than cover them in cotton wool? Well, I'm joined now by broadcaster and former Brexit MEP, Alex Phillips, Talk TV contributor and lawyer.
Now, she agrees. I'm going to move on to some of the dissenting opinions.
I think a lot of it is social media driven. I think a lot of it is dopamine driven, that they're exposed through social media to a constant barrage of imagery from wars and other things, which we simply would never have seen when I was a kid. So I think that cannot be overlooked, this constant sensory overload impacting negatively. And yet all the statistics will show young people, if they're calmly explained, there's never been a better time to be alive, actually.
But the statistics will also tell you, Piers, about the suicide rate amongst children, about how their mental health is suffering, about how children are being bullied, both personally and online in the social world, social media world. And so when we look at the Beano, what surprised me about this story is that we weren't applauding what the Beano were doing. We weren't you know, saying we weren't championing what they were doing, which is to stop children from calling each other names, because that's not appropriate.
Well, you think it's going to stop because the beano stops using names? I mean, come on.
But yes, I do, actually, because it's teaching children that it's not appropriate. And you call somebody by their name, which is Frank, John, Paula or Alex. You don't call them Spotty. You don't call them Darky. You don't call them Fatty. You call them by their name. And so what you are doing by what the beano is doing is acknowledging that it's anachronistic in its style and that it shouldn't be, that it should be taking responsibility for providing a positive message for children. Stop being mean, children.
And you know what? I am not inclined to disagree with her whatsoever. I think we can acknowledge that this is a version of this book that existed that did sort of relegate characters to whatever affliction that they might have. And here's something that we've changed. There's no need to like go and censor old versions of the book, swipe away old versions of the book. I think we should allow children to get a full view of, you know, all the different possibilities, give them a clear and distinct message about what is positive and what is negative, and hopefully hone in on the message that, yeah, you shouldn't go around calling people Spotty or Fatty or Darky or whatever, even though children may be naturally inclined to do those things. You can still give a positive message whilst acknowledging what was created before. And that is totally okay. I'm not going to stop my kids from reading, you know, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory because somebody thinks there's some sort of racist depiction in the book. I'm not. And to swipe away the work of somebody who has been, you know, a massive influence on the culture and on literature and on children's lives simply because you have a less than charitable interpretation of what they meant in their art simply makes no sense to me, which is why, you know, when it comes to public education now, I'm just like, how closely do I have to watch everything that my kids are being told and everything that they're seeing? You have to watch them like a hawk now because you have no idea what messages are being spun for them, which is why I'm like, homeschooling or private school, and even the private schools are getting into this stuff and into political correctness where we can't even equip our children with the basic really needs that they should have surrounding critical thinking and just living in what is a realistic depiction of the world and reality.
Children.
Yeah, but the trouble is life is tough, Ava. And life is very mean. You know, I always remind people of the Rocky Balboa speech to his son, who's a spoiled, entitled brat in the sixth movie. And eventually Rocky loses it with him in the street and says, look, life is hard. It will beat you down, right? And the challenge of succeeding in life is how many times you can get back up and keep moving forward. It's not how hard you can punch. It's about how hard you can get punched and keep going. We know this. Mm-hmm. And my argument is I think we're just not preparing kids properly for the real world and trying to create this kind of Barbie-style utopia.
And I completely agree with him. When you coddle children and you coddle their minds, guess what? They're going to become underdeveloped adults if they even make it that far. And it's so interesting that the woman in the middle spoke of, you know, the suicide rate of young people in today's time. And her solution to that is to like censor all of the bad things that are happening in the world and things that people are doing wrong or saying wrong to another individual. I feel as though that directly contributes to the problem. Now, we can talk about dopamine hits from social media and the constant barrage of bad comments that comes with social media, because I think we're dealing with a far different beast than you would have been dealing with in a pre-smartphone era when it comes to bullying. But also, if you equip kids with the critical thinking skills to know that bullies are bullies, they are not good people, they are not worth listening to, they are not people that we should give, you know, a reverence toward their ideas and their thoughts and opinions, they deal with these things better. If you coddle them and cushion them and tell them that the world is gonna be fine and you should create a list of triggers that everybody should have to, you know, listen to and abide by, guess what happens? Those triggers get triggered and they're not ready for it because they weren't taught to be ready for it. And I think there's a happy medium between these two ideas that are being espoused on this show where you could truly hit your stride in acknowledging the bad things that happen in this world, but teaching a better way out of them and how to deal with them. And it's just unfortunate that it doesn't happen that way, that there is just one extreme or the other extreme. We either get rid of everything or we, you know, keep everything and just have the discussion surrounding these things. Just talk about what's right and what's wrong, what's happened and what hasn't happened. And that's all that you need to do.
Where no one's mean, no one uses mean words, all that kind of thing, means you basically have to airbrush now every work of literature going back in history, because it was all full of mean stuff.
No, I think you're
it was. Come on. From Roald Dahl to the Beano, they're all getting censored. Right. I don't get it. I don't get any of it works.
I think it's quite obvious that parents probably don't want to sit down in 2023 and read a bedtime story to their child about, you know, Fatty and Spotty. I think it's probably market.
I do.
Hang on. I think it's probably market forces that have dictated it. And you love the free market. And I think they've probably looked at it and gone, do you know what, Beano, not really being consumed anymore. Why don't we try to get this, you know, somehow purchased and back in schools, back at bedtime? And
that's
how they've responded.
But let me throw this back at you. My daughter calls, she's 11. She calls me Fatty all the time, right? And does this to me all the time. Good. It makes me go to the gym. Didn't know this morning.
I think there's an argument to be made that the free market would bring about changes like this eventually as things move forward and progress or regress, depending on how you view it. I think what she's not acknowledging is, you know, the Black Rocks and the State Streets of the world that are essentially telling companies and corporations what is a palatable message that they can give to people and saying, if you do not do this, you know, here's how we come down on you. Here is how we force you to comply. And she may not acknowledge that that's an issue that is also happening in the UK, but it most definitely is. I mean, there is a video on the internet that exists right now of the CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, saying, you know, this is how we force behavior on corporations and companies. And to think that they're not doing that in media and literature is just insane.
Yeah. I think something that you said earlier, and I've seen in the comments throughout this entire live stream, context is key.
Mm-hmm.
You put out a book in 1944, you make a movie in 1958, you put out a book in the set, whatever. Wars were going on, things were different, people were consuming different kinds of content.
Right.
Ages of like when you were able to drink, there was prohibition, whatever. There's all sorts of different things that were going on at that time that don't apply now. We can learn lessons from them, however, and it's very, very upsetting and troubling when people just want to erase everything from the past.
Yeah.
Context is key. A Dr. Seuss poem from many years ago may have different social issues going on today, but it still has character to it. And you need to have that in order to grow as a society. It's with the statues, it's with the books, it's with everything, movies. If you put a disclaimer on everything, if you remove everything, what are you going to have left?
Yeah.
People will continue to repeat maybe those same things that you are trying to get rid of, because they have no basis of what was the past.
100%. The context is key. It adds so much to like what is going on. And if we are so like self-obsessed and quite frankly, narcissistic in a lot of ways, that we cannot step outside of our own experience to even imagine what it would be like for somebody else who is writing a book in a different time, creating a movie in a different time, then, I mean, we're not going to make any progress whatsoever. And to think that all of this is in the name of progress just blows my mind. We'll finish out here.
That's very, very different.
I was actually Barbie pressing
story.
This morning to female trainers. I mean, this is how I flow. But the point is, I'm not offended when she does that. I think it's funny, right? It used to be you could laugh at stuff like that. But what we're now in a world where Cosmopolitan magazine, one of the most influential magazines for young women in this country, puts a 305-pound model on the front cover, and doesn't mention anywhere in the text, either on the cover or inside, that this is morbidly obese and very dangerous.
Okay.
We celebrate being incredibly fat. But if you dare to use the word fatty in the Beano about a fictitious character, all hell breaks loose. The sensitivity police get called in. It all has to be changed. Explain to me how that is good for society or good for the well-being of young women who think that being 305 pounds when you're 5'2" is a great thing to be. It's body positive.
Okay.
Because no one's got the gumption to go, sorry, you are morbidly obese, you're going to die. And by the way, if you all want to be this fat, you're all going to die too.
But then we should have done that for the models who are 80 pounds and 6 foot tall, who were on magazines for 20 years and gave, you know, the whole world eating disorders.
I said the same thing.
Oh gosh, I love this. I love this argument because it's just so ridiculous. It's just so we should have done that for, you know, the anorexic models of the 80s and 90s. Sure. Yeah. We should be able to call out whether or not something is healthy or not. And many of them were, many of them weren't. The issue is you do not overcorrect by then putting somebody morbidly obese on the cover of Cosmopolitan magazine. Even if the market wants it, whatever, you know, we can have our back and forth about that. I question that the market actually wants that sort of messaging. But I digress. You do not correct a past issue by just simply overcorrecting in the opposite direction. That's not how things work. And it's very much what we've done with everything in this life now. You guys complain about race and say that the world was racist before. We go, oh yeah, you know, that's true. We could do something about that. Let's be racist in the other direction towards white people now. We lived in a patriarchy where, you know, women didn't have rights, they couldn't vote, they couldn't get educated. We can go back and forth about that. Instead of that, let's flip it on its head. Women are now better than men, and that's what we should talk about, and we should just prioritize always in the direction of women. They're always meant to be believed. They're always meant to be helped. They need affirmative action. And then you go, well, there's a bunch of, you know, skinny, somewhat anorexic looking models in our magazines and on TV. Let's just overcorrect and put a 400 pound individual on Cosmopolitan and say that health comes at every size, because that's somehow true. You don't need the most radical prescription possible to solve problems. All you need to do is recognize that it's an issue and see what is a neutral standpoint that we could take on this to move forward as a society. But instead, every single time there is an overcorrection, every single time it's like, swipe it from the record. We're not going to talk about it anymore. Here's the way that we fix this in the opposite direction. Make it make sense. The math is not mathing.
Thing about the, you know, size zero campaign. Yes, I said that was wrong too.
There was never any warning on there of how women achieved that body frame. No one ever talked about the smoking, no one ever talked about the drug taking or the excessive dieting. None of that ever appeared in a magazine. And Piers, I guarantee your daughter, when she calls you fatty, and you have that lovely little inside joke.
You're not calling me fatty, no, but you have she's allowed to, so you can't.
But when you have a good joke about it and you're having, you know, yeah, this nice, lovely moment, I guarantee you didn't teach her that word. That's probably something she's picked up and now you enjoy and you have a nice laugh.
Yeah, you know, she's
you
picked
didn't
it up.
Teach her that.
She's picked it up because actually kids do that kind of thing. They're kids, yeah, right? They're not going to stop because the Beano's changes everyone's name.
If you taught her that word, wouldn't it? If you were at bedtime and you taught her that word from the Beano book, that would be a bit strange.
I just think I've tried to teach all my kids. Just don't worry about... My mother always told me, you know, we talk about the patriarchy. I lived in a matriarchy with these wonderfully strong women in my family, my grandmother, my mother, my sister, my daughter's inheriting the same thing. And it's just that sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. You're very much a, never mind sticks and stones, words are far worse. They're not. They're literally not.
And you know that that's not true.
I do not know it's true.
I think that's a really dangerous theory to push. We know that words hurt. We know that because our law recognises that fact, that people are often mistreated with words and that it can impact on their lives. We know that bullying, which doesn't have to include physical attacks, when we're talking about a verbal assault on somebody, it can often have the same threatening and intimidating effect as it could if you were physically assaulted.
I know, but my point is...
If you say you know, then we need to acknowledge that. Because there are viewers watching this who think it's appropriate to stand over a partner and shout abuse at them in their face or to even whisper it in their ear.
I don't know there's any...
Just massive jumps in here. We're going to finish out. I'm done watching this video. What I will say is there is a happy medium between these two things. Of course, words hurt individuals, right? I don't think anybody's going to... I hope that's not the argument that Pierce is making, that words just don't hurt people. You can reinforce the idea with your children that words should not hurt them as much as somebody's actions or physical harm. And I do think that is an important thing to teach people. When you hear words from somebody else, that is their perspective, and often it's their own hurt that they feel in their heart just being channeled towards you, and it quite literally means more about them than it means about you. And that is something to teach children, I think, from a very young age. But you cannot teach children that if you don't allow them to grapple with how these words show up in real life. You don't allow them to grapple with the fatties and the spotties of the world and all of these things that very well will happen to them at some point or another. We will encounter bad people and bad people who want to hurt us with their words. Now, should those bad people be stopped from speaking? No. And I fear that two of these panelists, the two on the right side of this video, would think that they should be policed with their words and what they can and cannot say. And that's a really hunky-dory thought to have when you feel like it won't affect you. But as soon as it does, the tune is going to change. They're fortunate that right now the agenda is skewed in their direction and in their worldview, but as soon as it's not, their words are going to be deemed to be hurtful and hateful towards other people. And what happens then? You have no agency to solve it because you have, in fact, given away your power and your free will to some other entity that you thought was capable of policing your thoughts and actions. And that's not what we want. We can acknowledge what is harmful. We can hold people accountable for harmful things that they do and say, all whilst allowing for free speech and free literature and free thought and writing in children's books what it is we feel children should and should not see. And if you are a parent who is not happy with a character being called Fatty or Scotty or whatever it is that is in these books, don't buy the book. That's why, like, school choice is going to become one of the most important frontiers, I think, of our near future. If you are a parent who wants a specific education for your kid, go find the school that has that specific education and go there. And if it's the one that has the Beano book that says Fatty and Spotty, and if it's the one that says Frankie and Scotty, you find the school that does that for you. The sensitivity just irks me.
I think a big part of that whole discussion that I saw, too, was the black lady in the middle there, it said on her little chyron, said that she was like an attorney, I think, as well, like a contributor and an attorney. Mm-hmm. I bet that same woman got teased by her brother, sister, got teased by a friend, and it grew her to be stronger and to achieve something. By all societal standards, she's a successful woman. She's on a talk show panel. She is an attorney. She's achieved these things. Maybe a little bit, you know, not physically pushing around, maybe a little bit too, when you're a kid growing up. That's what happened in my childhood. And guess what? I would not be the person I am today if we didn't have those little things, the little nicknames, the little like pushes and shoves. It builds you up to make you strong and take on challenges in your professional and personal life going forward as you become an adult. It's if we erase everything, if we coddle everyone like you're saying, you're not going to have that.
Yeah. I mean, some of the worst people you will ever meet in your life are those that have not faced adversity of any kind. These are like the most underdeveloped, no sense of the world, completely tone deaf, have no idea what's going on. They're like Bill Gates guessing that pizza rolls are $60. These are the people. And it's because they faced no struggle. They faced no problems. And while they're not fun to go through and they're not something we should advocate for, the strongest you will ever be is when you take on adversity and you learn as an individual how to deal with it in whatever way is healthy for you and whatever way allows you to continue through this world in your as your own unique self. That is what makes you powerful as an individual. And you will find this, like the people with, I mean, the most heart-changing, life-altering stories that you will hear are those that have faced the most adversity. The people that I pity the most are the ones who go through life completely unscathed because they never get a sense of A, who they are as a person, or B, what even like the world that they're living in is really like. And that is something to pity, not something to advocate for. We should not be advocating for a world that leaves everybody like completely unscathed and we're all like cakewalking, floating through the clouds, because nobody will ever develop. There will be no innovation. There will be nothing done. There will be no progress, as much as we view that as progression. And on that note, we're going to get into super chats today.
Hey, let's do it. I can't do the fun little animation like Taylor does, we're gonna do this.
Okay.
So starting off from the top here, we have Diva Dawn. Hey, Amala and crew, have a super chat just because, and I hope you have a fabulous weekend. Remember me this weekend while I'm stuck at work.
Oh no, not on Labor Day weekend. Diva Dawn, leave in the comments, what are you going to be doing at work this weekend? I do feel for you. I'm going to be working this weekend, but working from home on like special projects. So I'm going to be having a good time and my heart goes out to you.
Must Pavlov Dogs. Nice username there. Your take on the white girl with braid story yesterday was perfect. The fact that we can focus on these silly stories is a sign of how far we've come.
Exactly. If we're debating back and forth about like, should a white girl get braids or not, we've come really far as a society when it comes to race. Like, we can all chill. We can really just sit back and relax a little bit.
And Turo Health just gave a super chat. That was really nice.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh, this is a fun one.
Okay.
Our very own Taylor Trandall. first super chat. Do you have any big news coming up you want to tease?
I do. Guys, you guys are going to be getting a big announcement next week. And I'm so excited to share it with you. It's either going to be announced on Wednesday's or Friday show. I haven't decided yet, but it is very, very huge news. So I'll see you guys next week. Hopefully you're all here.
Strap in. Interior Health again says, where's FEMA? Ukraine, no celebrities' homes destroyed.
Yeah, I'm like, it's it's sus, guys. It's sus. I can't speculate, you know, because I don't want to, like, you know, throw out some random theory that I have no basis for, but there was some interesting stuff happening. I do think FEMA eventually responded to Hawaii and did get there to help citizens. You guys can fact check me on that if I'm wrong, but yeah, there's so much happening that I feel like our government could be handling better. These, like, celebrities could be handling better, and it in no way should fall in the lap of the citizens, but luckily citizens are stepping up and helping.
Gina Leone. Amala, I hope this sounds the way. I hope you are one of the most young, intelligent influencer I know. Oh. I'm so proud of you, and I'm not your mother. I can't only imagine how proud yours is. God bless you and your team.
That was so sweet. Thank you so much. Oh, that
was very heartfelt.
That made my
Gina.
Day. That was very heartfelt.
Jimmy Mapes, the Rock Oprah video would have been better if they were both fake surfing in front of a green screen wave.
Yeah, Aloha. You know what?
I kind of wish that was.
That would have been at least a little bit of extra effort put into it. Oh my gosh. I can only imagine there would be a celebrity tone deaf enough to do that.
A little bit more visually, aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, just a bit.
Daniel Santana just threw some money in there for you. A little super chat with no message.
Thank you, Daniel.
Andreas Borgos, first live and very recent sub. Absolutely love the immense amount of insight, intellect, rational logic, and seemingly intuitive and effortless delivery. Truly amazing job, and
guys,
thank you for sharing your
gifts.
You're
going to give me, like, a big head. What the heck? You guys are being so nice in the super chats.
Yes, almost saying be a little bit rude. Yeah. Super chats come
bully
out.
Me. I need adversity.
Alex and Tellus, hey there, gang. Call of Duty will now be using AI to listen to your voice chat, even with your friends, to determine if you're breaking their hate speech rules.
Dude.
I played Call of Duty as a child.
And I'm sure you said some heinous things.
Yeah, you know, you're with your friends. You verbally abuse them. But
yeah.
No, that's going to be something.
No, I've never heard, like, worse bullying than, like,
Xbox,
putting on headphones for just a second while guys are playing video games. It's actually nuts. I'm like, yeah, no wonder you guys, like, don't care at all what people say to you.
No. Sophia Cabrera, just sending a little super chat your way.
Thank you, Sophia. Appreciate it.
JSoul03, is America the only country that gets offended by nicknames? I'm Mexican, and Mexicans love to make your biggest insecurity your nickname, and it sticks with you all your life, and no one really cares.
What can we say? A tough people. I was called Oreo when I was a kid, because I'm half black and half white. I don't know if that's offensive. Like, people tried to convince me that was offensive later on in my life, but I'm like, I think that's just a cute, kind of endearing nickname.
I was a short kid, and my last name starts with a K, so I was called Mini K. I wasn't offended. I was like, all right, I grew up. I got tall.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's normal. Like, you go through your little cycle of nicknames, that kind of, like, things that remind you of, and you can take that as offensive, or you can, like, take it. I don't know. I think it's cute when people try to give you, like, a little thing that, like, marks you, unless they're, like, purposefully trying to be super rude, of course.
Exactly. Diva Dawn again sends in the super chat saying, the Gulag Archipelago should be mandatory reading. There's nothing better than Russian being tortured for no reason to help you count your blessings.
I have heard of that book, and I have not read it. There's so many books that I need to read that are, like, in sort of, like, that vein of just, like, waking up to the world, and I haven't gotten to them yet, but that is definitely on the list.
I feel like we complain about a lot of issues here in society as a whole now, and this is something that people should be reading.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Stranded in Starlight, never donated on here before at all, or at all before, but wanted to say, I adore you, girl. So fun seeing someone in our generation speaking truth. Send a little heart, and God bless you.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, they're being way too nice
to
you today.
You're just going to make me cry. I'm just going to be in tears.
Okay, here's a question for you from Roxy. Words hurt, I agree, but without pain, how can you know happiness? That
is so true, Roxy.
That's a good way of putting it.
That is a beautiful question to be post for people to think of. It's just, like, a philosophical thing that we should all think about. I mean, like, if your life is always happiness and cushion, then what is happiness and cushion? Like, if everything is always the same, and there's no, like, peaks and you know, valleys or whatever, you're never gonna know, like, the true feeling of anything. I think, I forget who said it, but, you know, to know happiness, to know suffering, like, you have to have the duality of things in order to really appreciate them in their totality. And it's just unfortunate that we're giving people the exact opposite message, that they should be, like, running away from adversity any chance they can.
Yeah. We got Bernie Choi sending in some money from Canada. Mental fortitude is like muscle development. It gets torn down, but it comes back stronger. Also, thank you for the reasonable take on the Piers Morgan debate.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just, you know, you get hit with something in life and you go, whoa, like it rocks you for a second and you have to pause and you maybe have to recoup. Maybe you got to sit down and cry in the shower. There's different things you got to do and people deal with it different ways. But that process of like getting up from whatever your initial response is such a powerful thing. That everybody I feel should go through at least some point in their life. And to have it happen like over and over and over, it is really, it is muscle memory. It's just like doing a squat 50 times. Like you get that soreness of like, oh, it sucks that I have to go through this. But when your body's sore, you can also know that like, oh, I'm growing in this process. Like things are happening and I'm gonna come out a way better person at the other end of this pain that I'm feeling. And what a wonderful thing that is to feel and acknowledge. It's just tragic, man. Just tragic.
Oatmeal. Just wanted to say, oatmeal. Love your channel.
I love your username. That's awesome. Thank you.
Jim C., your super chat kind of got split up into two here, but talking about Gigi, this is pulled from Wikipedia. He pasted this in here. The movie is based on a novella in 1994 by French writer Colette. The plot focuses on a young Parisian girl being groomed for a career as a courtesan and her relationship with the wealthy, cultured man named Gaston, who falls in love with her and eventually marries her.
Yeah, and the whole, this musical, I think it's a really beautiful musical. Of course, I have my, you know, qualms with some of the stuff that through a modern lens, but it's not made in a modern lens, and that's totally cool, and I can appreciate it for what it is. It is a really beautiful musical, and if you have not heard the song, like, Gigi, the big, beautiful ballad that Gaston sings at the end, look it up. And listen to it. There are some newer renditions of it. It's just such a beautiful song. And to completely like cast aside something so gorgeous because you didn't like one thing about it. It's just, we're gonna place ourselves in such a problem as society. It's like with the whole Snow White thing. There's so many wonderful lessons to be gleaned from the original 1937 version of Snow White. But no, let's just like cast it aside and never look back at like why this thing became so timeless and why it really stood the test of becoming a classic. So dumb. So dumb.
Alex in Tennis says, speaking of video games, Omelette, when are we going to watch you play some horror action video games to see your jump scare reactions?
First of all, you don't want that. I don't want that. I lack hand coordination when it comes to video games. I can promise you that it wouldn't even be fun because I wouldn't even be able to like get the character to the point of where the jump scares are happening. It would just be tragic. You guys don't want to see that. And also, I hate horror, so that would not... It would not work out. I'm scared of literally everything.
Okay. Must Pavlov dogs again. I had a black friend in college who said people told him he acted white. I told him he wasn't an Oreo. He was more like a junior mint. I've never heard that one before.
That's actually funny. That's funny. Yeah, no, I used to get that all the time. You act white. You sound so white. All this stuff. I'm just like, it's just ridiculous. You guys should read, I believe it was a research paper or journal written by Roland Fryer, who was a tenured Harvard professor. I don't know if he is anymore because I think they stripped him of titles and stuff like that and assassinated him politically at that school. But he wrote an essay on the accusation of acting white, something like that. Google it, read it, really interesting stuff, and it is a baseless accusation.
Looks like our last one for the day is from Maggie Catherine. Seen celebrity show, in quotes, solidarity, anytime people are suffering will always be funny/cringy. I have billions, but I need you to do something.
Yeah, it's just, I get what they're doing and why they do it, and I think they should just be smarter about facilitating other people to give that message and really allowing the people of Maui to speak for themselves. To put yourself at like the front and center of a campaign to like fund this stuff is just not a smart move. And again, at the very least, they did give $10 million in relief, but more could be done. And guys, that is our show for today. Thank you so much for watching. I greatly appreciate you spending time with me today. I hope you have a fantastic Labor Day weekend. We will not have a show on Monday, but we will be back on Tuesday. And we're going to be talking about our girl, Riley Gaines. She's back in the news again. So keep an eye out for Tuesday's video. She's done yet another mic drop, and I can't wait to tell you guys about it. I hope your weekend is fruitful. You get some time to relax. If you're working, I'm sorry, but I hope that you work hard and that brings you fulfillment. And I will be working myself. Maybe I'll post some little teasers about the news that is coming next week over the weekend. So check out my Instagram and make sure you're watching my story to keep up to date with things. I'm so excited to share it with you guys next week. Leave a comment down below how you felt about all the stories we discussed. And as always, like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time I'm live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. And we post videos for you guys every single day because we're hustlers over here. Bye, guys.